from the close valleys of thy love, where flowers of white and coral are, and the soft gloom of cave and grove. How have I wandered, spent and far, by fell and mountain thence forbanned, into this Lamia wanted land? I could not know the coiling path, pebbled with sand and lazuli, would lead me to the desert's wrath, the rancor of the glaring sky, the tarns that like stirred serpents hiss, the den of drake and cockatrice. I roam a limbo long abhorred, whose dread horizons flame and flow like iron from a furnace poured, a bourneless realm of sterile woe, where mad mirages fill the dawn with roses lost and fountains gone. O land where dolent monsters mate, I know the lusts that howl and run when the red stones reverberate the red intolerable sun, the soot-black lecheries that wail from Hinnom to the moons of Baal. What desert naiads amorous have drawn me to their sunken strand? How many a desert succubus has clasped me on her couch of sand? What liches foul with breast nor face have seemed to bear thy beauty's grace? What voices have besought me there with sweet illusion of thine own, luring me rapt and unaware to pits where dying demons moan? What marble limbs have gleamed as thine, slow sinking into sand or brine? Briefly, in desert hermitages I have lain down in my despair, dreaming to sleep as slept the sages, but unseen lust oppressed the air, and crimson dreams of incubi and thirst of anthropophagy. Entire from mountains scaled at noon, I scan the realm of my duress, deep cloven plain and nippled dune, like to some sleeping giantess, pale and supine, by gods desired, with hearts deliriously fired. Still, without respite, I must follow where the faint exile rills bequeath their bitterness to gulf and hollow. Still, the blown dusts of ruin breathe, fretting my face. My feet return by salt-bright shores that blind and burn. Silence immeasurable creeps across my path. My sharpened ears are dinned with tumult from the deeps, are frayed by whispers of the spheres, and darkly in the sepulchre I hear the strident dead confer. Gnawed by unceasing solitude, the secret veils of sight grow thin, high domes that dazzle and elude, columns of darkling god and jinn appear, and things forbidden seem unsealed as in some awful dream. My heart, consumed yet unconsuming, burns like a dreadful ardent sun. The horror of strange nights illuming, shall yet I find the ways foregone, and speak before the heart of thee, the still remembered sesame? This is, once again, live and actual, the Ask Dr. Hal Show, live on radio. Greetings, dear fiends. This is, once again, your irritating horror host, Dr. Howland Owl, beginning another 3-hour segment of recapitulation of previous endeavors, of creations minted ago, but now here to be redecorated as a palimpsest shines through whatever appears in later eras upon its surface. This is our method of accreting, of adding piece by piece and grain by grain, as if the locusts who raided Pharaoh's granary brought grains of wheat back instead of taking them away, until in fullness the tower was packed with the golden treasure. We make no such claims here, but hope only to sustain the ongoing creation of a spontaneous effulgence promoted in the audio realm. And in the video realm, if one watches the subgenius movie Arise, or the subgenius movie J.R. Bob Dobbs and the Church of the Subgenius, or my upcoming show on Sunday on Twitch at AskDrHowlShow.com, you will see the Sorcerer's Duel from Lottie Reininger's amazing two-dimensional interpretation of the story, which occurs in The Thousand Nights and a Night of Prince Ahmed and Peri Abinu, where the two sorcerers try to change into what will be able to attack and consume the opponent. But the opponent changes also. How will it end? Is it a perfect match, a blow given for a blow received? It is beautiful animation, one of the unknown classics. And not only that one, we have a giant lizard trying to eat Ringo Starr. And we have a teenager bedeviled by aliens. Now, some of you might ask, why do I present what is overly familiar? Aren't we trying to get away from our daily lives by attending and auditing such shows as these? Yes, but the artistic creation of these representations gilds them, adds something new, and makes their ordinary appearances in our lives slightly more bearable. On our long journey to arrive at a destination free from slacklessness, there are many in the Church of the Subgenius who feel that the prophecy of Dobbs failed and that the eschaton will not occur. The iconoclasm of Stang only a pipe dream, and Bob's pipe itself only a dream dreaming itself in a self-referential postmodernist way. But there are scholarly interpretations which give us great hope. Not only the amazing discoveries of the Reverend Trixie von Mothersbaugh, one of the contributors to my show on Sunday, the Ask Dr. Hal Show, the home edition on Twitch at AskDrHowlShow.com at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern. We shall explore that strange exegesis, which is, you will come to agree, only logical and reasonable, especially when perceived in a landscape of raging unreason. Not our little creative tropes and flounces, but the entire world, which teeters and totters even as it gives us what support it may. And perhaps later on in the 3 hours, we will describe things which happened next door in the great state of Arizona, where I, Dr. Howland Owl, lived for years. The last time I described the life and death of a Western gladiator, Crotalus Atrox, as limbed by the great Charles G. Finney, author of The Circus of Dr. Lowell and other essential texts. But there is more than Crotalus to be found in the desert and in the strange mountain chains found in Arizona, the Superstition Mountains, home of the fabled Lost Dutchman Mine, and others, the Paranquis, the Catalinas, the Chiricahuas, the Rincons, all of these mountain chains looping and concealing sinful secrets, or perhaps, it is said by some, fountains of joy. So we will try to get closer to that too. As for guests, I suspect there will be none. K-Rob will probably not be able to drop by because K-Rob is giving a show of his own tonight, a special sound effects show, which will happen tonight and tomorrow night. This may impact Reloadio, which has a chance to go on, even though it was struck by a blow some time recently, and I, Dr. Howland Owl, will have to leave for a number of terrestrial weeks and only be back in the month of December, following the 11th of that month. I will arrive on that date, but probably so late and so far away that I will be unable to re-engage until the next day following. And this is only if these far-flung plans, desires, and dreams dare to actualize. Otherwise, unmeaning chaos and bubbling uncertainty surging up, volcanically spurting through the repressed psychic substratum. And this is my fate in that circumstance, and perhaps yours, eh, faithful listeners, etherettes, and rocket rookies? But we try not to frighten or to alarm our listeners. We only want to reassure them that their sandals are on the correct jeweled path toward the pavilion of slack, the punchline, the long-awaited end of the bitter joke. Listeners might suspect, with a lyric by Clark Ashton Smith, who was unwilling to compromise with that part of the world which he felt weighed down his spirit. And to avoid it, he became a hermit, living in a small cabin without running water or electricity in Auburn, California, in a place where now there is nothing. Bulldozers have changed the land itself. The two boulders, which supposedly, when one passed between them, would take the traveler through a chronosynclastic infundibulum to the strange world of the singing flame, those have been blasted away with dynamite. There is no trace of where Smith used to live. But there is a trace of him and more here on this program, where his voice continues to sing and is one of many familiar to our listening audience.
Rocket away in my beautiful rocket away.
Prepared to begin its celestial voyage.
Me too, but...
Wait by the end of show.
You know, I've been listening to your show for over 6 years.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Sometimes I think that you don't appreciate the callers.
What's this audio fuzziness? We reject it. Terrible. Stop buzzing like a thousand biting night flies swarming to disturb my slumber and tranquility. This pink torrent of noise has nothing to do with the world of the Church of the Subgenius. Compared to the hammering of inanity from the surrounding world, we are, by comparison, a tropical paradise. Yes.
A sleepy lagoon, a tropical moon, and two on an island.
That's more like it.
A sleepy lagoon and two hearts in tune in some lullaby land. The fireflies gleam.
The warm ocean with tiny tropical fish floating over your feet as you stand in the shallows. The brief rain periods followed by beautiful rainbows.
Out of the, sky,
the swaying of palm
and
trees
slowly grows
and of the vahinis draping flowers across your shoulders.
Leaves from the trees all dance in the breeze.
And what a breeze.
And float on the ripples. I'm deep in the spell as nightingales tell.
All right, there aren't any nightingales in Hawaii.
The memory of this moment of love will haunt me forever. A tropical moon.
A tropical paradise.
A sleepy lagoon.
Oh, that would be nice.
And you. From the trees,
they're more like fronds from the palms.
And the breeze and float on the ripples. I'm deep in the spell as nightingales tell of roses and dew.
No.
The memory of this moment of love will haunt me forever.
Forever.
A tropical moon, a sleepy lagoon.
I hope you would never try to censor me.
Call in 848. Is it the same number?
Same number?
Call
848. No. That's the KPFA number, and there's no number for Radio Valencia that anyone can call. Just don't listen to all that stuff about Radio Valencia's calling number. It only promulgates envy among people who must deal with the instrumentality of RV, the motion picture, this state.
Enhance the show.
It'll enhance your pants.
So, you have questions, we got answers here. Bishop Joey, the seminal and secular head of the First Church of the Last Lap, the world's fastest growing secular religion, 150% less dogma, the light religion, one holy day, your first. We'll answer those questions in a very slow.
Yeah, Bishop Joey's getting ready for St. Stupid's Day this year, which will be on April 1st.
Well, if you just bend down here like this. Okay. Now look real close. Okay, get real close like this.
Hey.
I got him.
That stuff doesn't go here, pal.
Look at that.
It's stuck on his thing. He can't talk. He's turning blue. Quick, call him. 911. Is it 911? Do you have to dial 510? Do you have to dial a prefix 1 4 5 1 0?
I have to dial 911 in this area.
What? No way.
Slack. It's the soft voice. Slack, the luminous cloud. Yes, we have no telephone here, but if you want to ask me a question live and right now, Zville, do it on the chatterbox. You know, the chatterbox. Just pop your question up there and I'll give it an answer. And if you want to do it on the official level, on Sunday at 6 p.m., the Ask Dr. Hal Show, the home edition, will present a catalog, a carnival of traveling curiosities, and answer each and every one of your questions, ideally to your ultimate satisfaction.
Of the millennium. Today, I mean. Bend over here. Okay, look right down there. Okay, and
roasting away on a fine winter's day.
That's deeper than I thought.
Yeah. Burning into protoplasmic goo.
Well, actually, out here.
Jack Frost nibbling at your fingertips.
Yeah.
Fingers dropping one by one.
Talk about haircuts and fashions. That's funny. All that kind of stuff. But I thought, no, it's 3.5 hours.
Paper sack.
3 hours.
Until the winter time.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, there's an intermission around 1965. Yeah.
Then they
and then it gets all heated up again.
To a kitty cat.
How many different series?
How many what?
And you with joy.
No, I think it's just entertainment plus theory, you know, based on theory.
In every possible way.
So you can't really tell which is which.
Mary Slack,
you know, he gets the building exploding, head dummies, and
we really mean it.
It's like seeing the first shot in the movie. Mary Slack, that's this movie making is. You talk a bunch of people into some money and go blow up an island. Then I can get behind that because there aren't many islands left.
Oh, I can get behind that.
First shot in Oliver Stone's head.
What a wonderful thing it is to have the Ask Dr. Hal Show live on radio here on this, which is called radio, but which actually is not radio, on Radio Valencia at .fm, which is not FM. It's not even on Valencia. It's all fraud and imposture. Who cares about its bona fides? The point is that it exists, and so do I, and so do you, at this fortunate juncture in time and space. Continue to listen, and perhaps your patience will be paid well.
Yes, the principal cause of this stupidity is our president.
Oh, no, not the president.
He's the stupidest of us all.
No, we're not going to talk about the president. Just for this one time. You know, it's a looming orange presence above us all. My sister made an interesting painting showing a woman trying to sleep, but there hovering above her bed is the hideous Trumpian effigy with its blonde top and orange skin. just like on TV where they turn a piece of candy corn upside down and say, see, this is him. It's yellow on the top and orange on the bottom. You're a lousy audience.
It's a strange anomaly here at the White House. Just step this way, Mr. President. Now turn your head this way. And you can see it. The anomaly is, it's difficult to see.
I don't see what you're talking about, Mr.
Turn
Secretary.
Turn your head this way. Tilt it
over. Like this?
That's right. Okay, now.
We need to find out what happened to his brain, though.
We have it here.
Oh, there it is.
This is your brain on right-wing politics.
Room below the Capitol. John Kennedy's brain. In a small glass.
It's in the giant spider National Center. According to that movie, they've got President Kennedy's brain there.
Overhead lamp.
This country.
JFK.
Must move.
There's a movie.
To a new frontier. Of bodiless existence.
Yes.
And I pledge that every American will
ghosts.
Just want to have fun, but that's one thing they can't do. They can't engage, see? They can't engage. Maybe they could. Once long ago, when the earth was free and young, and life was hot, merry, and sweet, and the devil took the hindmost. Back then, when there was no cosmic conspiracy, only those two great guys slugging it out in the heavens above and the blazing inferno beneath. When I lay dead in Thessaly, the land was rife with sorcery. Fair witches howled to Hecate, boring the blood of rams by night with many a necromantic rite to draw me back for their delight. I lay dead in Thessaly with all my lust and wizardry. Somewhere the golden ass went by to munch the rose and find again the shape and manly head of men. But in my grave I stirred not then, and the black lote in Thessaly, its juices drip unceasingly above the rotting mouth of me, and worm and mold and graveyard must and roots of cypress darkly thrust transformed the dead to utter dust.
Right on the back, it looked as if that entire part had been lifted away and something removed, or maybe added, no one was ever sure. But it became the most popular exhibit in the theme park. Until one day.
Yeah, what happened one day?
Oh, look at the. Okay, stand over here. Look, get a snapshot. Back up. Oh, look, it looks like the president's going to fit.
Is this really his brain?
I'm sorry. You have to. The height line says you can't see this exhibit. Come back in a year, Sonny.
All right, remember it. Kids, it is Christmas now.
Don't be scared.
It's not Christmas yet. Come on.
You little brat.
Not even thanks grieving.
You're going to have fun if it's the last goddamn thing.
Yes, you'll be sitting at the family table, ready to consume a Brobdingnagian ration of roast turkey dactyl, and I, in spirit, shall be with you.
I don't really believe in Christmas.
Christmas, yeah.
That's the end of the show tonight.
Well, we have a Christmas show coming up, actually.
Well, that was a pretty good show.
Not until we have our Thanksgiving show coming up. The one on Sunday. Watch that one. And then our Christmas one will be on about a week after I get back from New York City.
What, you mean those guys just walk away and that's the end of the show?
Is that it?
They walk that long, lonesome road.
There's a bunch of cardboard crosses down there.
No one can do it for them.
The show bunch.
Yeah, wow. Okay, well, as long as my parents don't find out, it's okay. I'll find somebody out here to talk to.
Walk to.
Okay, no, really.
In other news, giant spiders reported.
Yes, I've been following that giant spider news. I was tend to look at it. They say that they're in Louisiana now. Some as large as people. And you can read all about it online, on the internet. It'll tell you about the giant spider attack.
I have the impression that anybody out there can really, if you want, listen. We're going to have the show. We're giving it away. This is the last night of the show. We've had a show for a whole year now.
This is for me.
Let's just give it to anybody who wants it. So come on down to KPFA.
Boy, it's a rain. Oh, well,
so, what about that apparent supposed failure of the Exists to appear on July 5th, 1998, as predicted by J.R. Bob Dobbs? Has anyone got an answer for why this appeared not to occur? When, then, will X Day occur? A new calculation makes it clear. Yes, people who are listening to my show called the Ask Dr. Hal Show, the home edition on Twitch via Zoom, may have heard the Reverend Trixie von Mothersbaugh opine that the real X Day will be either next year or the year after. How does she come by this calculation? Remember, Dobbs prophesied that the dread forces of Planet X would arrive on July 5th, 1998. At one time, that seemed a futuristic date, wiping out the Pinks with cleansing fire while whisking the sub-genii away on their pleasure saucers. A pretty fancy, is it not? But right-thinking people are distraught, asking where the pleasure saucers are, and thus when that most spectral star of 1998 was or will be. Don't worry, there's still time. The conspiracy has been messing with our calendars again, but we haven't missed X Day. You see, the Julian calendar was a little off, and the Gregorian improvement did not address the problem of its origin. Both calendars purport to be based on the birth of Jesus, but current scholarship says that he was born in what those calendars calculate to be 4 to 6 BCE, or before the Christian era. However, anyone's birth is the least remarkable fact of that person's life. Everyone who has ever lived was born. Being born is no distinction, but few are crucified, and even fewer come back from the dead 3 days later. That is what the early Christian community wanted to mark. It's like how, until very recently, when the influence of motion pictures and then advertising kicked in, Easter was a much bigger holiday than Christmas. There's no way the calendar should be birth-based. Now, the dating of the crucifixion is far better known, tied to times of multiple well-documented public figures holding offices. Herod Antipas, who ruled in Judea, Pontius Pilate, who for the Empire of Rome under Tiberius was the assigned procurator to Judea, and so on. Almost all historians agree that it was in the range of 26 to 37 Christian era. That's looser yet, but deeper analysis by Sir Isaac Newton and others determined that a Friday, being 14 Nisan during the reign of Pontius Pilate, would have to fall either in 30 or 33 of the Christian era. A solution? Better yet, two. Purported years, according to our conspiracy-backed calendar, need to have either 29 or 32 subtracted for proper realignment to put year one at the right time and thus reveal the true 1998. Today's purported year of 2025 is really 1996, according to this corrected calendar, unless it's 1993. X Day is upon us, or nearly so. The real July 5th, 1998, will be what our faulty pink-controlled calendar claims is July 5th, 2027. Unless it's July 5th, 2030. We have 2 or 5 years to prepare. The saucers are inbound. Be ready. Thanks to Dr. Overcoma, this document was submitted to the Church of the Subgenius, amazingly and prophetically, before Professor Trixie's famous X-Day statement that 2025 is really 1996. Clearly, X-Day will be within 2 to 5 years if we complete the nameless ritual. And that, my dear friends and communicants, is entirely up to you.
The caramel goo that comes in a set.
Caramel goo from Carmel, California.
Caramel pepperoni pizza.
It comes all the way from Carmel, California.
Yeah, caramel, California.
Well, it must
salted
be
caramel.
That's for sure.
Well, just take a look. This is a wonderful antenna. It's very visible.
Antenna.
You can, communicate with Earth and measure the stroke of the atmosphere and the rings as radio beams pass through.
Beep. Yeah, but is it really good for anything, you know?
Here's the cosmic ray detector. It intercepts cosmic rays, atomic nuclei, and electrons, thought to be the most energetic particles in nature.
Say, did that top secret material ever get launched off, by the way?
Top secret material.
Yes, we did.
Himself.
I got launched on the Gravity Probe B rocket, which proved Einstein's theory of relativity.
Oh my goodness,
some years ago, my name was on that ship as it was fired into space and demonstrated that the sunlight itself was gravitationally influenced.
I
bet you can't say that.
Are we somehow defective in supplying you with just imagine yourself on the planet Saturn, jewel of the...
I'd rather not be there.
Wouldn't I be dead if I was on Saturn, though?
You'd be frozen. And buffeted by gigantic winds and hurled around, since the planet Saturn is only solid by comparison at its center.
Its gorgeous display of rings.
Small now that I'm here, what am I supposed to do?
Okay, stand on one leg.
Twirl around.
Hold your arm
around
up like this.
Well, this is like Planet Twister, huh?
Yeah, okay.
Tilt
your head slightly like this.
Sick and twisted.
Antonio.
I know, well, no, breathe into it. Relax. Breathe into it. Don't resist. Don't resist. The base for all good religions is don't resist. Just let us tell you what you should know.
Pull the wool over your own.
Activities. No, seriously, I should have...
Hold on just a moment.
If you're referring to something which has been done down here this evening already, well, I'm afraid that's past paying for.
Or past praying for. If you like your Bible story. Had an exhausting day today. It was though an elephant was sitting on my chest. I wish he'd get
off. There, they're hauling Jumbo away. It's about time that pestilential pachyderm went back where he belonged. But that's your elephant.
We are in the Black Iron Prison. It's actually 70 AD.
Well, that's an extra complication I didn't intend to introduce tonight. But Philip K. Dick understood that the Roman Empire never went away, and it's still oppressing us all. Oh, my goodness. Well, I was mistaken when I said K-Rob would be off doing a show, or maybe he did it, because now he's right here. He's right here.
The flyers for the show.
Oh, the flyers. Oh, yeah.
I was wondering, you know, I could give you a couple bucks. I don't know if
couple bucks? That chap will never see his money again.
Never.
No,
you do not speak about the money on the show.
Just send the SAE, my boy.
Even the most cosmic and
that makes it easy.
Do a little cartoon face of Jainer.
If you make it easy. Jainer?
Yeah.
What about Jainer?
If you do a little cartoon face of Jainer, like the size of Jainer became one of the little cartoon faces on the flyer.
A little caricature of Jainer, the mind boggles. I don't know if the world's ready for but I might. I just might. I've put your request in clear writing and in 25 words or less. Why I think Woody Woodpecker reminds me of my sainted mother. And be serious. No humor allowed.
Well, I'm still working on the show story, so I got it about two-thirds finished. And when I get it done, I'll send a copy of that along.
It is a great story.
You'll enjoy that.
A story that gets greater with every retelling. The story of how the third nostril was first opened and dripped upon the land, and the land waxed wroth. It waxed Ed Big Daddy wroth. And soon, the blistering, burning hot wax was added to the fuselage. And the car did gleam in the glory of the morning sun, gleaming like the many domes and spires of favored, fabled Hecatompylos. City of 100 feet.
This is Count Pyotr Borisovich
Sheremetyev. So, hey, let's call it in.
Buttered rum martini.
84844.
Huh? A buttered rum martini, right. Yeah, that's what. Okay. Yeah, I'll have another one. Sure, why not?
I'll take one of those.
Sorry, only one to a customer.
Hey.
And customer service, it is.
Oh, well, in that case, too. Here on the ocean.
Can I have one of those buttered gum martinis?
Whoa. There's a voice right in my ear.
Whoa.
The sea is calm.
Right on the phone to you.
There's a voice in my ear.
The tide is full. The moon lies fair upon the
show on my ear.
Hey, there's a bug on my ear. Get it. Ew.
What's this on my lap?
Coast, the light gleams and is gone.
No, don't kill it with bug spray in your ear.
To a Buddhist, all life is sacred.
Out here in the theatrical jungle, the mushing sounds are with us. Hey, guys. Did you hear that noise? This microphone stands right out here in the jungle.
Ukubalaponga, 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 ukubalaponga. Oh my goodness, am I on? Ladies and gentlemen, here standing at the edge of civilization, the edge of the great fecund swamp, I, Dr. Howell, dedicate the next year's show to all you nameless, blameless callers out there. It's you that make this show whatever it is. And
Caroline came out and talked about
the little lady in the pink dress.
enters stage.
And a microphone out in her prow.
She wanted a comfortable life.
A place to raise up the kids, like
some tomatoes. Some kids and some tomatoes.
Yeah.
And to put those old statues back together and the heads that fell off.
Uncle Julio would take care of everything.
But her brother, the Emperor, had a different idea in a different country.
Nappy Bongo.
He was just Nappy Bongo. Just, he didn't was with a program. He didn't get with a program until one day, this eagle flies over him and
almost up. That one's sure working.
So mad, it messed his head up. You know that big
that one, you don't need to hit it. It's really going.
That really wasn't a medal. That was actually Eagle Splat.
You could try some of the other
Eagle
ones, but that one seems...
Got him so mad, he went to this place called Pompeii. It's a Hawaiian place.
Can you...
I can't hear you.
You can't? You can't hear me?
Not really, no.
Uh-oh. Well, how about now?
I hear...
Geplug in the geplug, sir. I'm hearing my own.
Yeah, no, it's
you need another pair of headphones than the ones you have. All the equipment at Radio Valencia is junky to a T. Gotta find a pair of headphones that with you will agree.
Riders of the world.
Yes.
Well, I mean, like,
All right, folks, in just a minute, we're going to be having an exciting live on-air conversation with K-Rob, and he'll tell you about the sound effects show that he was doing tonight and will be doing tomorrow night.
No, I'm not doing it tomorrow.
Oh, you're not doing it tomorrow night.
Yeah, no,
well, you did it tonight. Tomorrow night, it's still going on?
There's another... It's like the same... The same headliner, but it's completely different opening act set.
Oh well.
Like,
all right.
I was part of the opening act set of tonight, as were four other people. I guess I can hear myself.
Well, you can hear yourself think. I mean, you can hear yourself speak.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Okay.
All that hitting the microphone is microphone abusive.
Yeah, but you need to test the levels, you see.
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Well, it's actually a function of the...
So, we're here doing the usual thingamajig, and what do you know, K-Rob is here, although I said earlier I didn't think we'd see him tonight.
That means you're a liar, right?
A liar?
He lies to us!
Not knowingly. Inadvertently.
We put our trust in him, and this is how he repays our trust.
Get used to it. Life is not a custard pie.
Get your fans to trust you. Yeah, that's it.
Some of them actually do. I'm trying to disabuse them from that superstition. But I did try to explain how the real X Day would be next year or the year after, according to Trixie von Mothersbaugh and others, including Sir Isaac Newton and all sorts of folks.
Well, the young man that I ran into tonight that was a part of, he called you the greatest living underground cartoonist.
Oh, my God. Well, that's nice. If it's Floyd Tangerman, who himself is an underground cartoonist, because he's been given the job by Fantagraphics and Gary Groth of rating the 100 greatest comic books. And if he thinks that, maybe he'll put me in there in that list somewhere. I doubt it, but it's always something that could be hoped. So will he tap on the door or rattle the handle? How will we know he has...
That's the thing. He made a... So when I saw him, he said, Hal's going to come to the tattoo shop.
True. I am.
At 1 o'clock.
That's so.
And I
am.
Said to him, well, maybe I'll just see Hal before he heads over there. Then he said, well, maybe I'll head over there too.
Were you at Radio Habana?
No, I was at a place on 3rd Street, and that's where the sound effect show was.
Right, we gave the address last night on Puzzling Evidence, or rather this morning. Where was it? I hit third, which is down in that industrial area.
Yeah, it's like third and overpass.
Well,
yeah.
The show is over, but you could tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I did 15 minutes. It was kind of like a hearing a segment of my radio show.
But live, alive. Oh, how did the crowd react?
It was nice because the show got, my set anyway, got really quiet at the end.
Uh-huh.
And the show, the set rather, was like a dying man. And like the last like seconds of the show was like the wheezing of an old man, and like
good heavens,
and the line was "Be a good boy,
good boy." Good
and
boy.
I was thinking that like maybe the old man was sort of putting his trust in the younger man to like do the right thing and pull the plug on his hospital equipment, you know, keeping him alive, you know. So it's like, pull the plug, you know, do the right thing and pull the plug. Yeah.
Pull the plug!
And so that was the objective. I don't know if it got across, but...
Well, you seem to have entertained them.
Yeah.
You got them where they live.
People were quiet, they heard it, and when the show was over, they clapped. And, you know,
all right.
What more do you want?
Yes, exactly. That is what one wishes to hear. Spontaneous applause.
Beats. And, you know, a few comments going, great show tonight, you know. A little scattering of those little...
When are you going to do it again? They might have had...
I don't think I got any of those, but I got the idea that, you know, the people that don't congratulate you are probably on the fence or probably were, you know, took some offense, you know, like, oh, the boy, did that guy suck? I'm not going to even look at him when he walks by.
Not only were they on the fence, they took some of them.
Yeah. Hey, Tom Sawyer, are you going to eat that? Yeah. It was a great room, and Carolina was the hit of the night, and they knocked it out of the park. And
cool.
They were the headliner. They were the final, you know, boss of the show, and they're doing it again tomorrow.
All right. Well, I hope there are many more such shows, and especially that they don't occur at the same time as this show.
Right. No, they started at 9 and they finished not too long after 10, you know. So.
All right. How much of a crowd would you say there was?
I say it was standing room only.
All right.
It was pretty good. Like I mean, everyone was there for Carolina, you know. And the opening, like, there was a lot of friends that came, and they were going, hey, K-Rob, and, you know, everything. And it's just like, oh, wait, did you play tonight? And I would have to say, yeah, I already played, you know.
No. VJ Pussycat said she was watching Pluribus.
What's Pluribus?
What she was watching.
Mm.
And she said the stage looked amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I gave her some pictures on the chat. Messenger thing.
Well, good. That is a two-way street. The corner of show and recorded material. That call, and of course we can't answer the phone here, but last night this morning at Relodio, Puzzling Evidence was able to take a call, but now we get that too with
on
the new
KPFA.
Yes, on KPFA, the new board that has been hard to understand.
Right. You know, I've tried 6 different people and the KPFA staff, and I am still unable to get a response for my questions about a door card.
How annoying.
It is annoying, and I'm starting to take it personally.
When do you usually go down there? Isn't that
Mouth.
I don't usually go down because I don't have a door card to get in the building.
If you did, I mean, I'm thinking I could give you my card, and then as long as I had it back by the time I did my thing, then...
Oh, I see what you mean.
We could kind of share the same card.
Oh, see the crowd.
Yes, they like equity and inclusion. DEI forever.
What is this, some kind of DEI hires root beer kind of deal?
They could hire me, I'd have some root beer. Although I don't think hires is a particularly good kind.
No.
Actually, I know it's pretty mainstream and owned by Coca-Cola, but
right.
A&W can't be beat. The flavor is right. It's got a good head of foam. And, of course, if you get Boylan soda in bottles, you can get birch beer.
Yeah.
Birch, pretty good stuff. Milked from the sap of the birch tree.
Yeah.
And then...
I'm so sorry that when we went to the Fleischer thing that they didn't have the tap on tap root beer, because that's some really good stuff, but I haven't seen it. Like, I went back again, like, just the... Like,
so it wasn't just because we were at an early hour.
No. It was like... Like, I've gone twice since the heartbreaking news of it not being there,
yes.
And it still hasn't returned. Like, I don't know what... It's not even on the board, like, on the menu, on the chalkboard menu thing anymore. And, so I'm kind of... I'm starting to take it personally.
Well, if only there was a suggestion box. And you could say, hey, bring back the root beer, mudhead.
Yeah. It's a thing. I mean, I guess it comes from a keg, and they have to have kegs and all that kind of business. But
a kegger, eh?
Yeah. Or some intergalactic kegger over there. We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger.
Somebody is. Look under that red inverted trash can over there, and you'll see a great big keg of beer over there.
Yeah. Keg.
Also, the carpet is festooned with the popped off tops of pop top can things.
You mean beer ephemera?
I thought so. I don't know. I couldn't recognize them. They're drinking something and throwing the pop tops down on the rug. There's one.
I don't see anything. I don't see anything. Of course, I don't see tops.
I picked a bunch of them up. This one is pink.
I use my X-ray glasses to look at girls without any shirts on when they're dancing the boogie.
Wow. Those are some glasses you've got there.
Yeah. No, they're actually X-ray eyes. Here, try mine. Try one of mine.
But you mean they are glasses that you can take off and put on, not the special modifications to your eyeball.
No, I'm talking about the Ray Milland scene where he's looking at all the dancing
girls. Oh, yes. In X, the man with X-ray eyes.
Exactly.
Interesting film. I visited Puzzling Evidence at this studio on Wednesday, and it's amazing how silent it is. You know, all this not going on makes a great deal of difference in the audio landscape.
Right. Yeah. But wouldn't it be nutty to have your own show be devoid of such?
Wouldn't it?
You know what I mean? Like, you just really get into your...
It's another layer that I don't necessarily welcome, but it's there.
Yeah. I mean, it's the hardest on a Friday, and I presume a Saturday night, but Thursday, it's tangible, it's there, but it's not as, I don't know, it's not as heavy.
Club has to keep open, after all.
You can still hear the... Somebody was trying to control what their dog is doing in a restaurant.
Yes, I know. That wasn't a